This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always here in the early port of the week. And I said port, not part, but, you know, we'll just keep it rolling with Adam Burke at Skating Tripods on Twitter. Please, as always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Trying to think of some way we can get some sort of bowl competition going. I'll have to get the old marbles going upstairs to figure that out, but would love to get you guys involved out there. But continue to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It's much appreciated, and it certainly goes very well noticed. We'll dive into some grading of future win totals and all of that later on in the podcast. But Adam, it's Tuesday morning, and I got to know, as someone who has just loved Ryan Day like a brother on this podcast for as long as you have, I'm curious how you're feeling after a 13-10 loss on Saturday at home to the Michigan Wolverines.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Yeah.
Good. Always good to be here. Always good to chat college football with you, because it's such a great sport to be a fan of. As you mentioned, it is Tuesday.
That is today. Yes.
And I don't know why Ryan Day still has a fucking job. You can sit there and tell me that the college football playoff is coming, and that's fine. Whatever. You cannot lose that game again. You cannot lose to that version of Michigan. And to do it at home in such embarrassing fashion, that's a death sentence. And it should be a death sentence at Ohio State. Maybe I mean that literally. Maybe I mean that figuratively. That's up to the audience to decide. But I am shocked that his body wasn't dragged down High Street, to be completely honest with you. Just embarrassing, awful, pathetic. You've got incredible talent on the outside. It was very clear early in that game that Michigan couldn't cover it. And, you know, Ryan Day is still upset about a Jim Harbaugh quote from 3 years ago that the team needs to be tougher and run the football and all this bullshit. Win the fucking game. That's what you need to do. You need to win that game. And I don't care how you do it. Preferably 48-0. But continuing to run with the problem for Ohio State all season long has been the offensive line. You lost your center, your prized center that you paid for from Alabama, to a torn Achilles before the Indiana game, where, again, you struggled to convert in the red zone because you couldn't run block. So what do you do against Michigan? Try to make everybody run block. And look, maybe Will Howard was concussed. He certainly played like he was. But Tim, I could spend 2 hours ranting about what happened in that game and what has happened during the Ryan Day tenure, and he's still there. This silver lining I keep going back to, and I don't know if Urban Meyer's done or not. Maybe he is. Maybe he wants no part of this bullshit with the NIL and the portal and all that, although he was paying players before it was cool. Ross Bjork asked Urban Meyer multiple times about being the head coach at Texas A&M when he was the athletic director there. I don't know if it's Urban. I don't know if it's somebody else. Hell, I'd be happy with Shane Beamer. It cannot be Ryan Day going forward. If he wins a national championship, that's cool. I'd fire his ass anyway.
So I guess the question that I have for you, as Ohio State, and we're recording this on Tuesday morning, so we don't know the rankings. They more than likely will kind of be in that 8-9 range, probably either hosting or going on the road to Tennessee. That's my guess on who Ohio State will more than likely play in the first round of the college football playoff. But what needs to happen, or is there nothing that can happen, for Ohio State fans to accept Ryan Day coming back next year?
Well, if they lose in the first round of the playoff, there's absolutely no way he comes back, I don't think. You know, I mean, if you make Brian Hartline the offensive coordinator and Ryan Day says he's going to have nothing to do with play calling, maybe that's kind of the olive branch. But again, I mean, you're in a situation now where you have a new athletic director in Ross Bjork, and a lot of times athletic directors want to pick their own people, right? And you're obviously not going to do anything on the college basketball side because you just retained Diebler. There's plenty of reason to make a change here with Day. So, yeah, I mean, wins you a national championship, then I guess you kind of deal with it and hope that he figures it out in the Michigan game next year, but I don't think that's going to be the case. So, I mean, I guess you could say that Ohio State fans have to be okay with it, but I don't see that happening. I think that, you know, for right now, I guess I can see why you have to keep him around. But, you know, when Gene Smith was the athletic director here at Ohio State, didn't really go particularly well. You know, I mean, Chris Holtmann kind of fell apart with the basketball program. Ryan Day has ruined everything that Urban Meyer set up. You know, they've had some other issues and other things of that sort. So I think they're going to make a change. The sick thing in all of this is Ohio State's still plenty talented enough to win the national championship. 100%. I don't think they will, but they're certainly talented enough to do it.
Oh, I think there's no doubt. I mean, you look around college football this year and Ohio State loses by 1 point to the only undefeated team in college football, Oregon, on the road. And if Will Howard slides a second earlier, they may win that game.
Well, they'd have missed the field goal. So, yeah, I mean, well, we know that. Look, here's the thing. I will say this about Ohio State going forward, right? And I don't know where they're going to be ranked tonight. Frankly, I don't care. They're going to be a playoff team no matter what. But you get into a situation in the playoff where you don't have this Harbaugh quote hanging over Ryan Day. You don't have this, oh, Ohio State's not tough, you know, we have to prove it kind of mentality. Now, he did that against Notre Dame too because of the Lou Holtz thing, which neither here nor there. But like, I'm holding out hope that in the playoff where you don't have somebody who lives rent-free in Ryan Day's head, maybe they actually do have a good offensive game plan. Maybe Will Howard actually, you know, doesn't have scrambled egg brains and plays pretty well. Maybe they actually throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith. Like, that's kind of the silver lining, I guess, right? That they're not going to have this, you know, the head coach grudge, whatever you want to call it, against Harbaugh and Michigan to worry about, which very clearly clouds his judgment in that game.
Yeah, you look at the odds right now to win the national championship, and Ohio State is still third shortest odds at DraftKings at plus 475. I mean, this is a year in which it is completely wide open. And, you know, Matt Eumanns last night on VSiN Primetime made the case that he likes Notre Dame at the odds that they are, I think, as high as 12 or so to 1. I would disagree, and it's not because I'm pessimistic as a Notre Dame fan, but I don't think that their depth is there. But if they get the pathway to the semifinals, which is certainly possible if you get the 5 or 6 seed where you're facing maybe a G5 team or maybe SMU, and then in the quarterfinals you're playing Arizona State, Iowa State, Boise State, who knows how it all plays out. I mean, that's what's so interesting from a future standpoint this year in college football where, you know, Ohio State, let's say they're in that 8-9 game against Tennessee, which seems, that would be my guess right now. You win that game, you're playing Oregon or Texas, depending on what happens this weekend. And then after that, you're going to be, if you're able to surpass that, probably a significant favorite in the semifinals. So look, as we talk about, you and I love betting college basketball, talking about college basketball, you write it for the website. The path is going to be so important to the futures odds that are out there. And I want to discuss a couple make or miss the playoff odds in just a minute on the other side of the break. But yeah, when you look at Ohio State, they still got a ton of talent, man. I was never a big believer in Will Howard. It reared its ugly head. He's made some big mistakes. He threw the pick six against Penn State. The interceptions against Michigan were awful. But man, that, I'm not going to say it's one of the stunning results of college football this year, because a mediocre MAC team went to Notre Dame and won in Northern Illinois in week 2. Things have been wild this year Alabama went on the road to Oklahoma and lost by 3 touchdowns, and now they seem to be in decent shape to make the college football playoff with 3 losses. Not a lot makes sense this year, but to go lose to Michigan without Will Johnson and Colston Loveland, I understand why you and so many Buckeye faithful are as upset as you are. And to be honest, Adam, up until this point, I kept it to myself, but I'm like, all right, man, he wins a lot of football games. That was inexcusable. There is no way Ohio State should have lost on Saturday afternoon to that Michigan team. There's just no way.
No, and look, I mean, you're supposed to win a lot of football games with the pipeline that Ohio State has. And then the reason why I think the rubber really meets the road this year is because, by and large, Ohio State wasn't a big participant in the transfer portal, right? They weren't a big part of the spending spree every offseason until this year, right? They get Will Howard. They get Caleb Downs, who, by the way, was the best football player on the field in that game.
So
he's going to be a hell of a professional. They finally spent money on some offensive line transfers. You know, they actually had, you know, by all reports, a $20 to $25 million roster based on the personnel they brought in, whether it was, you know, incoming freshmen or guys in the portal, right? So they had been paying freshmen, obviously, prior to that, but this was the first time they really went out there and got high-profile transfers. And I think that was kind of a sign of like, hey, this is the investment that maybe you asked us for or maybe you think you need, and we're going to give it to you, but now you need to deliver. And so Ohio State is not a job where you're out there dicking around to beat, you know, Michigan State and Illinois and Northwestern. You are expected to beat that team up north and beat playoff caliber competition. And yeah, they beat Penn State. That's cool. I still don't know if Penn State's that good of a team, despite, you know, their body of work and where they're going to be ranked here in the playoff. But you know, you're paid to beat Michigan and you're paid to win games in the playoff. And if they can't do those two things, Ohio State needs to move on. This is not a participation trophy type of job. You need to be a stone cold killer to be the head coach at a program like this. And Ryan Day isn't. So Ohio State has to definitely make some kind of determination there. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's interesting when you look at the playoff. And Tim, I actually want to ask you about this because you're right. I mean, Oregon's run the table here to this point. You know, Texas has the loss to Georgia. They've pretty much done what they need to do otherwise. Penn State has the loss to Ohio State. They really didn't play too many other good teams. But in the SEC, you do have the 2 and the 3 loss teams and all that kind of thing. And is it just the portal and NIL and kind of a leveling of the playing field that is creating all of this? And if so, is this just what we can expect going forward? We're going to have to deal with the discussion of 3-loss SEC teams in the 12-team playoff.
I think it's fair to ask. And when you look at the unbalanced schedule all across these conferences, where you look at a team like Indiana, who did not play Penn State, did not play Oregon, but they lost to Ohio State. Now they beat Michigan. I guess that Michigan win looks better for Indiana. I think Indiana's in the playoff. And I think a quick aside here too, I'm not trying to avoid your question, but there's a difference between, and I think most of our listeners recognize it because this is a betting podcast. There's a difference between opinion and what to bet. And when I'm tweeting things out regarding SMU versus Alabama, I don't care who would be favored on a neutral. To me, it's I'm trying to figure out what the committee's ultimately going to do with a possible 11-2 SMU team who loses in a conference championship game versus a 9-3 Alabama or a 10-2 Miami or a 9-3 Ole Miss. And I think that's where it gets a little blurred because everybody's going to get blue in the face Tuesday night, tonight, when we watch this reveal, people are going to get fired up. And then people are going to get really fired up on Sunday afternoon. There's no doubt, but I think there needs to be some uniformity when it comes to conferences and how many games they're going to play. And I don't know if we're ever going to get that because, as we know, the NCAA just kind of stays out of it, right? They don't make these uniform rules for conferences have to play 8 games, 9 games. You have to play X amount of good teams in the non-con. And that's where the committee kind of comes in and tries to figure this all out. But yeah, it's an unprecedented year. I kind of love it. I love chaos. And I think we get more chaos this weekend. How about this, Adam? In the past 3 years, on championship weekend, we had 5 games with point spreads of 6 or higher. This weekend, 0. And I think it tells you the parity that is out there in college football. We've got an SEC championship game, point spread under a field goal. We've got an ACC championship game, point spread under a field goal. A Big 12 conference championship game, point spread under a field goal. A Big 10 championship game, point spread under 4. I think that's great for the sport. And I think very rarely, and could we at the end of the day, Adam, get Texas, Georgia, or Texas, Ohio State, whoever you can deem kind of that normal household name in the championship? Yeah, it's certainly possible. But I think for the first year of expansion, I think this is phenomenal. And if Alabama got in as the 11 seed, I think they can make a run. They've proved that they are capable of beating Georgia. And that's all you need to do. How good is your good? So, look, I can't wait for it. I want to get into some scenarios, but I'll give you final word here before we hit a break.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things I want to mention here. I think one is, you know, I mean, I think some teams have kind of been helped by what their ranking was coming into the season, right? They've been able to kind of hang around despite not being all that good. They've been able to hang around in this picture. And I think that's a little bit unfair, right? I mean, because there's so much influence on the preseason rankings and all that, unless you completely bottom out, right? Like, these teams keep hanging around up there higher than they probably should be. So I think that's something that needs to get looked at. Something else that needs to get looked at is, you know, okay, fine. Ole Miss beat South Carolina, right? And it wasn't a particularly competitive game, 27-3. Fine. They won the head-to-head meeting. Does Ole Miss beat South Carolina right now? I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, we can deal in absolutes that Ole Miss beat South Carolina, but what this season has really shown us is not only the inconsistent / Jekyll and Hyde nature of college football teams, but also that there are periods where maybe there's a trend line where a team is trending up. So do I care that Ole Miss beat South Carolina in early October or whenever that game was on December 3rd? No, I don't care. Like, how are these teams playing right now is what really matters. And so for people to be like, well, South Carolina can't be ahead of Ole Miss because Ole Miss won head to head. Bullshit. And I think we'll find that out tonight where South Carolina will clearly be ahead of Ole Miss. But I don't know. That's a narrative that needs to go away, because right now South Carolina is arguably the hottest team in the country. And I think they'd beat Ole Miss if they got to run it back. They don't get that luxury. They don't get that opportunity. And then lastly, you know, the whole Clemson thing, right? Clemson loses to South Carolina in the rivalry game. Clemson has 3 losses. I don't think they really have a good win. I mean, they lost to Louisville. They lost to South Carolina. They lost to Georgia. 3 best teams that they played. But if they beat SMU, they're in the playoff. And there's no way to fix it, right? It's kind of the college basketball conference tournament thing. A bad team always makes the NCAA tournament because they get hot at the right time, win at the right time, whatever. But I think that's something that needs to be explored a little bit more, too, is like, you had your chance against your rival and you blew it. And now you're in a game against SMU where it's effectively a coin flip type of game. And you get a second lease on life just because your conference stunk or because of who you played in the conference or whatever else. That's something that I think needs to get looked at.
I agree, man, and I am not a big believer in auto bids because of this very scenario where Iowa State, Arizona State, winner there, Clemson SMU winner there, even though you can make an argument SMU certainly deserves to be in the discussion for an auto bid. And then Boise State, UNLV, two of those three winners are getting auto bids. And I don't think that is right. However, I understand why they did that in order to reward teams for winning conference championship games. And let's not be naive. These conference championship games bring in a boatload of cash for television networks and for the conferences themselves, and they don't want to get rid of these conference championship games. So that's why we're going to have all of these conference championship games on neutral fields. Oh, by the way, Clemson 7-0 all time in ACC championship games held at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. They'll have a pretty solid
home game.
They'll have a great contingent of fans in SMU, who has been the best team in the ACC this year, albeit against a rather lackluster, unbalanced schedule where they didn't play Clemson, they didn't play Miami, they didn't even play Syracuse. Their best team they played was Louisville, who, once again, Louisville did beat Clemson at Clemson, and I'm not taking anything away, but SMU, outside of their win over Louisville, doesn't have a win over a team in the ACC with a winning record. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I want to get into a couple scenarios, especially involving SMU, because Brett McMurphy had some really strong opinions on the SMU situation on VSiN Primetime last night. So I want to get into that. I want to get your thoughts on the current odds that are out there to make or miss the college football playoff. We'll take a quick break. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim Murray, Adam Burke with you. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Also, get the VSiN Watch app. It's free, and you get our podcasts. You can see replays of shows. You can listen to all our shows for free. Very easy to use as well, so make sure you check that out. So we've got 9 conference championship games this weekend, and we'll get into them in detail, certainly as the week goes on. Wes Reynolds will be on Wednesday's podcast, Matt Eumanns on Thursday's podcast. Adam will have write-ups on these games on the website as well. But I wanted to dive into the make or miss the playoff odds. And I tweeted it out on Tuesday morning. You could follow me at 1TimMurray, which was Brett McMurphy's take on the SMU situation, because I think these odds are a bit off. Alabama is minus 250 to make the playoff, plus 190 to miss. The reason I think these are off, SMU is the same price, minus 250 to make, plus 190 to miss. Well, the money line for Saturday night in Charlotte, SMU -$1.35, Clemson plus 115. Oh, by the way, Clemson at Circa on Sunday opened up as a 3-point favorite. Market's gone bonkers betting up SMU. I agree with what you said about Clemson. Who have they beat? But I think they beat SMU. I kind of hope I'm wrong, but if they beat SMU, I still think SMU gets in the playoff. And the take from Brett McMurphy was, to paraphrase, there's no way in hell an undefeated ACC team through the regular season's getting left out for a second straight year. And I know that'll lead to everyone getting mad and telling me this is a television show and, you know, who draws more eyeballs, Alabama or SMU. Alabama's going to be 3 ranks behind, more than likely, SMU when the rankings come out tonight. And if SMU loses, I don't think they're going to be punished all that much when Alabama is not playing a football game. SMU would be 11-2. Alabama would be 9-3. Alabama would have a very nice win, obviously, over Georgia. I just think it's a fascinating scenario. If SMU were to trip and fall this weekend, Clemson will get the auto bid. And then what do you do with SMU and Clemson? And McMurphy said, quote, "I think the easiest situation for the committee is if SMU loses and does not get blown out, because SMU would then grab the more than likely final at-large bid. Alabama, Miami, South Carolina, all would be on the outside looking in. What do you make of the situation that very easily could happen in which SMU loses to Clemson on Saturday night, giving Clemson the auto bid and then leaving the committee with a decision to make on who gets the final at-large?
Well, it's a lot to unpack, and I certainly greatly respect McMurphy's opinion. There's no doubt about that.
And real quickly, and that's just what it is. It's an opinion, right? And Ari Wasserman from On Three is making his opinions known. I've been texting with Chris Felica a little bit about this whole situation. Nobody knows the answer, and nobody knows what the committee's going to do, but my belief is that the odds at minus 250 for Alabama to make the playoff are a little too rich just based off of, are they really going to drop SMU out of the playoff from what will likely be number 8 in tonight's playoff rankings when they lose to a team in Clemson that will be a fringe top 25 team?
Well, I think what we have to try to ascertain here is, what is the committee's chief objective, right? Is the committee there to put in the most deserving teams, to keep conferences happy, to keep fans happy, or are they there for the TV networks and the dollar signs? Now, there's a couple of ways to look at this, right? SMU is in Dallas. Dallas is a massive television market, right? I don't know how many people are SMU fans, but we know that people in Texas are rabid football fans, right? Are they going to watch because it's SMU? Are they going to watch anyway because it's Alabama? Like, I think these are the questions that I would love to know, you know, what kind of the goals are of the playoff committee, because Alabama is far and away a larger brand. And I've made this argument about keeping Indiana out of the playoff. Nobody wants to watch an Indiana game in the playoff, right? They're a fun story. People want to root for the underdog, but they don't really want to root for the underdog in college football. They want to do it during March Madness, right? So,
can I jump in real quickly?
Go ahead.
Indiana's in.
Yeah, I know that. They should be, but they are.
No, and I think that's where we as bettors, right? I'm not going to push back one way or the other. Do I think Indiana's one of the 12 best teams in the country? Probably not, but they're going to be in to the playoff, and that's where, and I think that's where we, you know, I'm just trying to look at it from a betting standpoint, where I'm trying to get out like Indiana, SMU, Alabama. Do I think South Carolina and Alabama should be in the playoff? Probably, man. Like,
well,
and Ole Miss.
Well, that's my thing, right? So,
but you have but the games also have to matter, and I know that the SEC,
but isn't 9-3 for Alabama's schedule better than 11-1 for SMU's schedule?
Yes, however, Alabama lost and got their ass kicked by Oklahoma.
Sure.
And they also went to Vanderbilt, who's 6-6 now, and lost. So
I agree.
You could poke holes in everybody. The only one I really...
But also, I mean...
To be honest, man, the only one I really couldn't poke massive holes in outside of getting smoked by Ole Miss is South Carolina. Like,
I mean, they have the most wins against ranked teams in the country.
Like, South Carolina... To your point you made in the first part of this podcast, they got absolutely screwed over by the referees against LSU. They should have won that game. They got their ass kicked by Ole Miss, who's a top 15 team. Okay. And they lost by 2 to Alabama in kind of a crazy game in Tuscaloosa. So that's where I think it's fascinating. And we don't know. Once again, we're recording this on Tuesday morning. I don't know what the rankings are going to look like tonight. My gut tells me that Alabama will be ahead of Miami, will be ahead of Ole Miss, and will be ahead of South Carolina, and will be right now in the college football playoff. But yeah, I mean, to me, I get it that Alabama has a win over Georgia, and that's really, really impressive, and especially that first half. But I agree with what you said about South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina obliterated Texas A&M. They beat Clemson at Clemson. They have 3 losses, all to top 25 team. Well, I guess LSU, will they be top 25? I don't know.
No, but remember, Lenora Sellers was hurt in that game.
Right. So look, you could do this to every team. Like the team I cheer for, Notre Dame, lost to fucking Northern Illinois. Like Northern Illinois sucks.
Well, so this is the question, right? I mean, we sit here and we talk about bad losses, but how is the committee evaluating quality wins? Right?
I like, think they evaluate,
is probably not going to beat Georgia.
I think they evaluate whether it's right or wrong. From what I've gathered from the first four or five ranking reveals, I think they evaluate the loss column more than the win column, because Georgia, and I know they needed eight overtimes to beat Georgia Tech, but they went to Austin and won by 15. Yeah. But then they dropped, what, nine spots when they got smoked by Ole Miss?
Well, and that's what, like, this is the problem that I have, right? The complete lack of transparency in the process, right? So SMU lost to BYU. A BYU team that the committee was dying to drop, just dying to drop that team. And they did. When BYU finally lost, they would drop, what, nine spots for eight losing nine, one game?
Yep.
So, like, you know, it's just this is the problem, right? There's very little transparency in the process. And we know that it's not exclusively about performance. And, you know, it's not exclusively about recent form. Because if it was, South Carolina would be in and would be higher ranked than Alabama. But this is exactly it. And then you have the financial element of it, which, for better or worse, we all know exists.
So I guess to sum it up, though, to circle back to my initial question.
Because here's the thing, right? Let me just mention this really quick, right? From the Big 12, right, you are getting one of Iowa State or Arizona State.
Correct.
Right? You're not getting – I mean, not that there's a whole lot of high-profile teams in the Big 12 anymore, but you know, you're not getting a Colorado.
Yep.
You're not getting a TCU, which is in Fort Worth, you know, so you get that big, you know, Dallas Fort Worth market. You know, I mean, there really aren't a whole lot of great options in the Big 12, but you do wonder if the committee at some point, if they get a lesser conference champion, do they compensate by saying, well, shit, now we got to put Alabama in, cause we got to make up for the lost money we may have of having to put this team in there or something like that.
Well, think about it this way. If it were just as simple as who's going to get more eyeballs, Alabama Notre Dame is going to
monster game
get a ton of eyeballs versus Alabama or SMU Notre Dame. Like SMU Notre Dame.
And that has to be a factor, right?
I don't know. And that's, I mean, I guess I'm being a bit naive and saying that it does not matter. I think there is certainly an aspect to it. But I just think, circling it back to the odds, where the yes, no on both SMU and Bama are the same. And that doesn't make sense to me, because SMU is only minus 135 to win on Saturday, but they're minus 250 to make the playoff. Bama's minus 250 to make the playoff. And the good thing is, this is a two-way market. So you can bet on the no. If SMU loses, Clemson's in, and you get your old bid stealer, which we talk about so much in college basketball, and then it's going to come down to Bama, SMU, I guess Miami and South Carolina. We don't know where they're ultimately going to be. I still think that SMU gets in if they lose by a field goal on Saturday night. And I think plus 190 on Bama to miss is kind of an interesting look, because that number has continued to steam up like crazy. I guess the last thing I'll say on this is, are we so sure that Miami and South Carolina, who are both 7-1 to make the playoff, are going to be behind Alabama tonight?
Miami will be, I think. Because this is the thing, right? I mean, you know, there's also the political element involved, right? Where the SEC and the Big Ten are kind of like, well, fuck you, NCAA. We don't really need you. You know, there's kind of been talks about that, of them sort of coming together, doing their own thing. Like, does the NCAA feel like they have to, you know, kind of accommodate them, right? Because the whole talking point has been the expansion of the college football playoff was to put more Big Ten and SEC teams in it, right? They're the two best conferences in college football, and it's not remotely close now with realignment. So if they have the chance, right, to put in a Miami or an SMU over Alabama, I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to side with Alabama. And maybe that's just me being jaded, pessimistic, whatever you want to call it. But this is the problem, right? It's not just about football and what happens on the field.
So
for me, I'm always going to prioritize the thought that they're going to fuck over a non-SEC team.
So I think this is interesting, and we'll kind of wrap on this. Miami was 6 last week. Alabama was 13. Alabama dropped from 7 to 13 after they lost to Oklahoma. Miami's loss, whether you like it or not, it's a fact from a point spread standpoint. Miami's loss was better than Alabama's loss. Mm-hmm. Alabama lost to a 500 team in Oklahoma where they were a 2-touchdown favorite. Miami lost to now a 9-3 Syracuse team where they were an 11-point underdog. I think you're right. I think Miami's behind Alabama, but I'm not just so convinced that Alabama, because of a win over Auburn, who's under 500, is going to jump Miami. I think tonight is going to be so interesting from the ranking standpoint. And that's why I think these odds are interesting, where I think Bama at minus 250 is just too rich for them to make the playoff. Could it be simple? Could SMU beat Clemson and Alabama is the last standing there? Yeah. But I think there's a lot of Miami, what if? South Carolina, to your point, what if? Because they had a nice win on Saturday. I think there's a lot of interesting what if scenarios moving forward. And the biggest one to me is, if SMU loses, you know, what happens to SMU?
Well, and here's the other question, right? Well, and I think it's also ironic that Oklahoma went and lost by 20 to LSU after beating Alabama.
Yeah, so they end up 5-7 or 6-6.
But then here's the question, right? So Georgia beats Texas. Yep. Very plausible.
Sure.
Very, very plausible. They've already done it once, yeah. Right? So then if you're the committee, you can look at it and say, well, Alabama beat the SEC champion. So then there's also that, right? The goalposts move week in and week out.
But if Clemson beats SMU and South Carolina says, well, we beat the ACC champion.
Right, exactly. So the goalposts move every single week based on the results and kind of regrading performances, sort of reimagining, you know, what a win actually means. You know, like if Northern Illinois was in the MAC championship game, they're not. It's Ohio, Miami of Ohio. If Northern Illinois was in it, would they kind of go, yeah, but Notre Dame lost to a conference champion? You know, like you can make up whatever narrative you want to make up when you're sitting there in that room. And so I think it makes it kind of difficult for us to figure out what's going on, because there is no transparency with the process. You get word salad whenever they talk to whoever they talk to from the committee. And again, I think there's the unknown element of how much dollar signs, ratings, network pressure, all that comes into play.
All right, before we wrap up, prediction for tonight, Alabama ahead of Miami and South Carolina?
I think so.
I agree. Yeah,
I think so. I think Ohio State's probably – I think people are going to be pissed off, because I bet Ohio State's like 6 or 7.
So in the last rankings, Ohio State was 2. I think Oregon 1, Texas 2, Penn State 3, Notre Dame 4, Georgia 5. I think Tennessee moves up, and then I think it's Ohio State ahead of SMU. So I think they drop from 2 to 7, which would mean they would be the 9 seed in the playoff bracket.
So when I wrote this up on Sunday, I had Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame top 4, mm-hmm. Georgia 5, SMU 6, Ohio State 7, Tennessee 8. Boise State 9, Indiana 10, Alabama 11, Miami 12, South Carolina, Arizona State, Clemson to round out the top 15 was my guess.
I don't see SMU jumping Tennessee.
I don't know. I guess not.
We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do. But I think, to me, I will continue to remain. I think the most interesting thing is what happens if SMU loses on Saturday night. I think they will lose, and I think that'll make it a massive situation brewing. I just think, to sum it up, I think minus 250 on Alabama to make the playoff is way, way too rich. Remember this, and I confirmed it with Felica. On the Saturday night after Florida State beat Louisville, Last year, they were a massive favorite to make the playoff. And then the market flipped on Sunday morning to Alabama moving to the favorite to make it into the college football playoff. So I know everyone just thinks that the odds are gospel. They are not. So keep that in mind. They don't have moles in the committee room. So we will see. I'm not saying Alabama can't make it. I just think minus 250 is too rich of odds out there, considering that Clemson is only a 2.5-point dog against SMU. All right, Adam, I know you got to run. Appreciate it, my friend. And brighter days ahead for your beloved Buckeyes.
I hope so. I certainly hope so, Tim.
Follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. I'm at one Tim Murray. We're back tomorrow. We'll start breaking down those conference championship games. We'll look at the playoff rankings as well. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.